Happy All Saints Day. So, who are these saints that we're so happy about? Well, I think that sermon hymn that we just sang, I think helps us out a little bit. In one of the first stanzas we just sang, we sing for all the unsung saints, that countless, nameless throng who kept the faith and passed it on with hope steadfast and strong. Through all the daily griefs and joys, no chronicles record, forgetful of their lack of fame, but mindful of the Lord. We are happy knowing that our loved ones, whom we remember, who have passed away in faith, are now with Christ. Because of the work Jesus has done, they are now saints. Even those whom we would in daily living never consider to be saints. But guess what? You are saints. Yes, you. We are also happy celebrating you as a saint. Now you may be thinking, I am not a saint. I am a sinner. I know that. Or you might be thinking the opposite. The person next to me is a sinner. We call this simul justus et peccator. It's a Latin phrase that means simultaneously saint and simultaneously sinner. That's you and me. Every day. By your own living, yes, you and I are sinners. Through the death and resurrection of Christ on your behalf, you are a saint. God does not know you as a sinner. He says, such were some of you, but you were washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You are the righteousness of God. All because of Christ Jesus. So remember that when you feel like you're a pretty bad sinner one day. Jesus calls you the righteousness of God. Sometimes we like to say, though, that we're sinners. We almost like to say it, perhaps. We like to admit that we're a sinner, maybe. Because I think it might be a tap-out. It might be an excuse to say that we're under submission. I'm going to give up trying to live righteously because that's just not who I am. Let's just get down to it. I'm a pretty bad sinner. I think sometimes we say that it's an excuse disguised as humility. And ultimately, it only serves as a license for us to continue on sinning, doing whatever we're used to, what we like to do. But in truth, it's not admirable. It's not anything but shameful to be a sinner. And to think of you as only a sinner is nonsense. Because that's what we just said. You're not just a sinner, you're a saint. As much of a saint as those that are on stained glass windows. But today, as we celebrate All Saints Day, we also get to sing of the joy that we look forward to. The now and not yet. The joy of singing with and joining all saints. When Christ returns. Second coming, we call this. It's a reality. Jesus is coming. When is he coming? What do you think? What's an answer? When is he coming?
Hopefully before election day.
Hopefully for election day. Yeah, I would agree. He's coming soon, he says at the end of Revelation. He's coming soon, so are you ready? The day when Christ returns to resurrect the dead, which we confess in the creed, the day when Christ returns to resurrect the dead bodily, and for us to experience heaven eternally, that's what we look forward to. That's what those people in the ground look forward to. Death is not the end. So, there's a lot to grasp in those last few sentences. So, let's break that a little bit. So, first, the second coming. That entails there was a first coming, right? When was that?
When he was born.
When he was born. We celebrate on Christmas. He was born. Jesus, God was born into our world. Then I also mentioned the resurrection of the dead. Now, this is where things get interesting. This is something we confess and we believe in the creed. We believe in the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. But think of it this way. What happens to Jesus happens to you and me. Easter morning, Jesus was not dead. That means everyone who has passed away has a body in the ground. It's a dark reality that we can see. And then they also have a soul that has been separated and is now with Christ in heaven, or they have a soul that is without Christ in hell. So we, along with these people, the former saints, we all await that day when, because of Christ, because of what he did on Easter morning, we await the day when body and soul are reunited the way that they're supposed to be. They're reunited for eternity. Now, I also mentioned heaven. We hear it all the time. So, listen closely though. Heaven is not a place. We like to think of it as kind of clouds and angels flying around. Heaven's not a place. There is no time for God. Heaven is wherever Christ is. So, our loved ones are with Christ. That's what it means to be in heaven. Our former loved ones and saints in faith are with Christ. But they look forward to something better, believe it or not. They look forward to the not yet. They look forward with us when they have heaven being with Christ for eternity. We look forward to eternal life when Christ comes again. You see, those two terms, heaven, eternal life, are different. We're just hitting the peak before we get to the mountaintop when Christ returns. So, today, we take the time to celebrate All Saints Day. But in actuality, All Saints Day was on, like I said, November 1st. That's why we have Halloween. It seems like the overwhelming excitement is put onto Halloween, October 31st. But the honest truth is that we were actually celebrating All Saints Day early. Halloween is meant for us to get ready for an even greater holiday. All Saints Day. That's why Halloween is called Halloween. It's the eve of All Hallows. All Saints. That's why Martin Luther posted his 95 theses against the Roman Catholic Church on October 31st, 1517, starting the Protestant Reformation. It was for all the saints. So now, if you can grasp all that this morning so far, let's turn now to our Bible readings designated for today. Every year on All Saints Day that we celebrate, we have these readings set aside that are from Revelation, the last book of the Bible, written by St. John, the disciple. And then we have the Gospel, according to Matthew, that were both read. So, what's the point here? Why do we have these two readings that are so special that they're included every year? Well, I think because these two readings that were just read remind us of the multitude of saints who have died and are now with Christ. But more importantly, these two readings do a good job of reminding and maybe even reorienting ourselves to Christ. It's here in Scripture that we hear God answering the question from Revelation. Who and whose are these saints? He says, they are mine. Because of our baptism in Christ, we currently enjoy the blessing of being in Christ's kingdom of grace. Right, Trevor? We talked about this confirmation. We're living in the kingdom of grace right now. Forgiveness. Accessible to you right now. Yet we are with those who are not living, all currently looking forward to being in the blessing of Christ's kingdom, of not just grace, but his kingdom of glory. We call it that. The kingdom of glory. That kingdom where Christ restores creation. So, once more, we daily live in the now and the not yet. That's why we pray in the Lord's Prayer, even, thy kingdom come. As we learn from the Catechism, right, Trevor, the kingdom of God certainly comes to us without prayer. We are already under God's kingdom, either of power or grace. But we pray that God's kingdom, his reign, may come upon us also. God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit so that we believe and lead godly lives. That's what we pray in the Lord's Prayer. That God would have reign in your life, not anything else. We also talked about something else that we acknowledge on All Saints Day. Death. It's never meant to be God's plan for there to be death in the world, either for human beings, for animals, or for plants. No matter how much people try to dress it up, death is not good. Death is not natural. Death is not something we should aspire to. It is our enemy. Death is only in the world because of sin. What happened was sin entered the world when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And what sin does, it unravels things. It takes what was once meant to be whole and separates it into body and soul. But, like we had just heard, death will not, and death does not, have the last word. Yes, our loved ones who trusted in God are resting now in the presence of God. And yet, God is not finished with them. And God is not finished with this whole tired, dying world. And God is not finished with you. We read here, and we hear also in St. John's Revelation, who are these clothed in white robes, and where have they come? The answer is, those who are coming out of the Great Tribulation. Now, it sounds kind of scary, but Christians are always enduring tribulations of one kind or another, including persecutions. We don't always get to see it in our nice, cozy backyards. But there are people today in other countries dying because of their faith. That's the limit they will go to because of their faith. Persecution. But I want you to also think of the things that you suffer in life. It might be pain, could be death, could be depression, could be heartbreak. It's sin. But because of John's vision that we get to see in Revelation, those from every nation are included here. And then we can read also that we are included in that Bible reading, that we are included in every nation that will be going through a tribulation, a suffering time. St. John even was persecuted when he was writing that last book of the Bible, Revelation. Because of his faith, he was exiled by Rome to live alone on the island of Patmos, off the coast of Italy. And that's where he spent his years writing. John also endured other persecutions in his long life in witness to Christ. If you remember, John was the disciple that Jesus says he loved. He was the disciple, he was the only disciple who remained at the foot of the cross. John was the disciple who eventually took care of Jesus' mother. But it was also John and his brother, James, who was earlier killed and martyred for his faith. great tribulation that John speaks of is simply the mounting evil in the world. And you know it's there. And it will continue to persecute people of faith until Christ returns. So, with that going on, John writes this book of Revelation, not to be scary, like the Discovery Channel or whatever tries to make it seem. The book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, is meant to actually comfort those who will endure hardship. Because God will not abandon his church. God will not abandon you. So how can we tell? Well, we can also turn to that other disciple, Matthew. How he tells you in our reading today that you are blessed. And he tells you how blessed you really are. We hear Jesus calling us blessed. That's a word reserved only for God. And he yet is giving it to you. That's what he calls them, the Beatitudes. It was from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount of Olives. Now, there are some in our day that try to be fancy in church. They like to think of the Beatitudes as B-attitudes. I don't even know what that means. Maybe they're qualifications for being blessed by God. But is this really how the Bible is to be viewed? Don't listen to TV preachers telling you these kind of cliche little quotes. These nine statements from Matthew are not just random pronouncements of blessing by a wise sage. They're not attitudes that we have to have in order to be a real Christian. These statements are given from a specific person to a specific group in history, Jesus to his disciples. And it's here that Christ is comforting his disciples for being blessed amidst the struggles that they are going to endure later on in life. All but one, John, every one of the disciples died because of their faith. And they died horrifically. And here we have Jesus comforting them for what's ahead. But it's here also that Jesus is comforting you. Because you are seen as a saint. When Jesus sees you, he doesn't see the sinful side of us. He sees the saint in you, but he sees Jesus when he looks at you. Because you are seen as a saint, you can read your name into the Beatitudes. Blessed are you, for you have the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you, for you shall be comforted. Blessed are you, for you shall inherit the earth. Blessed are you, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you, for you shall obtain mercy. Blessed are you, for you shall see God. And blessed are you, for you shall be called children of God. Blessed are you, who may be persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. On All Saints Day, we remember others who rest peacefully with Christ. And we're going to acknowledge those people in our life by a bell toll. But on All Saints Day, we too await the day when these beatitudes, these blessings, move from future promises to a present reality. There's a famous quote by another Lutheran pastor back in the day. He was a German pastor. Dietrich Bonhoeffer had this to say about the Beatitudes, those blessings in Matthew. Having reached the end of the Beatitudes, we naturally ask, is there any place on earth for the community which is described here? For us? Clearly, there is only one place. Only one. And that is where the poorest, the meekest, the most sorely tired of all men is to be found. It is on the cross. Who are these saints that we're talking about, that we're so happy about. They are our loved ones that are with Christ. They are the believers. And they are you, and they are me. Who are these saints dressed in white robes today that we're so happy about? Whose are they? They, you, I belong to Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.